good morning and welcome to our service. Thank you. Good morning to you. It's lovely to have you all with us this morning. Seem to be a little bit thin. Someone has said there's quite a lot of COVID around us at the moment, as in Malvern, and I know one or two of the schools are struggling at the moment, but a very warm welcome to you all. My name's Reverend Peter Myers. If you're visiting or you're joining us online, I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints, and a very warm welcome to everybody. We're going to be continuing our series on living the way of Jesus, and Barry later is going to be speaking into the demonstrating authority which Jesus does in calming the storm. So we're going to be calming some storms today. Just some notices before we get going. The first one, going back to the topic of COVID, is that obviously you know that rules have changed recently on a national scale. The PCC, Joint PCC, met this last week, and we're keen at the moment to be very aware of those who are still vulnerable and nervous, and we want to stay caring for particularly those, that group in our community. So our intention is to continue with the rules that we have had in place over recent months, i.e. we can keep our masks on, please, and just be sensitive, and then we'll review that as February develops, and we'll let you know if there's any change. So please, if we could ask you to keep your masks on unless you're exempt during singing, unless you're up at this moment talking that way. So that's one thing. Just remind people, the newsletter, lots of information in the newsletter, keep tabs on that. There's quite a few dates in there for your diary, looking ahead into March, various events coming up. And next weekend, the first Saturday of the month, men's breakfast, don't forget that, for you men out there. And that is the last of the notices I want to give now. So let's get to the real business and encountering the Lord. I wonder how you've come this morning, what your expectation is this morning. Let's have a moment of quiet and in our own hearts welcome the Spirit here this morning. I invite you to stand. And bearing in mind, we are going to be teaching into calming storms, teaching into authority, and bearing in mind some of the things that are going on in the world at this moment. Let me read Psalm 46 to us. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. God in Christ has revealed his glory. Come, let us worship. From the rising of the sun to its setting, The Lord's name is greatly to be praised. Give him praise, you servants of the Lord. O praise the name of the Lord. Let us worship, and if children want to come forward, there are musical instruments down here to accompany our worship team. But come and let's make a blessed noise to the Lord.
Great. Any other children want to come and help themselves to instruments before I start to play? Oh, Jutta, well done.
Thank you that the earth is filled with your glory, and we can stand on the truth. You are our fortress and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take a seat. So today, Barry's talking to us, teaching into Jesus' authority. But the whole topic of authority can make many of us perhaps prickle or feel a little bit uncomfortable, either because we're not altogether convinced that authority is a good thing, perhaps we like a little bit of our own independence, or actually because we've experienced authority exercised poorly. And of course, at the moment, the media is riddled with questions about the quality of those in authority at the moment around us. What is authority? Well, authority is the right to rule, the permission based on position or role or status. So I wondered whether some people could throw out some people who are in authority around us, particularly perhaps some of the younger members here at the moment. What are some of the people in authority over us? Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister. Yes, absolutely. Well done. Any slightly further, closer to home? Mum and Mum, love it. Absolutely. You, me. I'll take that. Thank you. Any others?
Policemen.
Good example. One more.
Teachers.
Yeah, I hope that might come out. Absolutely. Those are just some of the people around us in authority. Well, I've got some pictures here. I wonder whether you might sort of give me a sort of a boo to those that you don't think are very good. Perhaps gone down the great good rulers. Others, perhaps you go hooray for those that you think are good in authority. Who's that? Who's that? The White Witch of Narnia, that's right, yes. Good. I think a little bit more booing or a little bit there. You're a bit quiet there. So, what about this one? Who's this? Who's going to name him?
Scar.
That's right. Go on, Skye. Nelson, well done. No help from Mum there at all. So well done. Okay.
Yay!
The kings and queens of Narnia. Don't need to ask you who that is, do I? Oh, one for the adults. Oh, who's cheering? It started well. Who's that? Mugabe, yes. Yeah, the president or the ex-president of Zimbabwe. And... come on, yes! Absolutely, in this very special year, yes. God is not a God of chaos, but one of order. And authority is God's idea. Creation has order, and God gave us authority to rule over his creation. Sadly, as we know, authority is often abused and is not well exercised. And so often that is a sort of image of how we feel when we start hearing and people start talking about authority. But actually, authority is a wonderful, wonderful thing when it's exercised properly. Authority is there to protect, to nurture, to release and to encourage, and is there for the flourishing of all. But of course, as I keep saying, the reality is that many of us have experienced poor authority. We need to be alert to how we exercise authority. And in fact, most of us here, if we think about it, we'll find ourselves are in authority of some kind. Even if that is, as a human being, we have the authority to care for the world around us, even at that most basic. But whether you're a parent or you're a teacher or you're in work, then you will have a position of authority. And therefore, I just think it's beholden on us to be very cautious about how we talk about authority and others in authority. It's totally appropriate to address poor authority, but it's just how we engage with how we do that. I was struck actually talking to someone who reminded me this week of the story when the rulers challenged Jesus, and they were about to stone a lady that had not been behaving in their eyes appropriately. And they were about to stone her as the rules of their time allowed. And they said, Jesus, should we stone her because of what she's done? And Jesus turned around and said, if you are without sin, then you cast the first stone. And of course, the crowds melted away and no one threw a stone. And Jesus was left there with the lady. And I just think I was reminded of that by somebody else this week. And I think that's a really important thing for us to be cautious about how we, in this present climate, respond and what we do with our words. We're called to pray for those in authority, and hopefully we're going to do some of that probably later. But in our daily lives, praying for those around us, both close, they could be parents, they could be teachers, but also, of course, our national and international leaders in all sorts of areas of our society. So let me just finish with praying for us before we move on. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good that authority is meant. It's a precious gift that was your idea. So help us, as we are in positions of authority, to exercise it well, to protect, to nurture, to encourage, and to allow people to flourish. And help us to pray for those around us in authority too. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to have our reading, but we're going to do it slightly differently, and we're going to do it before the children go out who are going into their groups. So, we have the reading in video form.
That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" Died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Who is this? Even the waves and the wind obey him. Well, children, you're going to head off to your groups, and hopefully you'll discover a little bit more about who he is. And as you do that, I'm going to hand over to Barry, who is going to open the word up for us.
Thank you. Peter for that. I don't know whether people watching online will be able to see that video, but it's from the LUMO project, L-U-M-O. You can find it on YouTube. There is most of the Gospels, actually, in 100 languages. So it's a worldwide resource. So, storms. Have you ever been in a storm? Or have you ever watched a storm from the safety of land? Well, here's a storm for you. Now, my mother and father, when I was a small child, told me of their honeymoon when they went to France. They went on the Dover to Calais ferry, which should take about an hour. It took 12 hours because the storms were so great, the ship couldn't get into port. And Debbie and I had an experience of something similar when we went to France on a 9-hour crossing, Plymouth Roscoff, Force 9. It was like, well, it was a bit like this. And they closed all the decks outside. So you can only imagine the scenes inside. Anyhow, before any of you get seasick, I think I'll perhaps pause that in a moment. But here we have a similar situation. We have a storm on a lake. And Tom Rice, whose book we're following about Mark, talks about how storms can quickly spring up in relatively shallow water. And the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide, quite shallow. And the boats are tossed around as if they were in a cauldron. And here we have Jesus, exhausted from a day of teaching the crowds, in a boat, heading across the Sea of Galilee, which is quite an expanse of water. And if we were hearing it at the time it was written, we would have recognized echoes of earlier biblical stories. Think of Jonah, how he was thrown out of the boat and instantly the storm calmed down. The Israelites coming out of Egypt, God parting the waters. And perhaps even creation itself, where we learn of God's new world emerging from the dark, sort of primeval waters. And more than just echoes in Psalm 107. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help us, they cried in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper, and he stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbour. It's great, isn't it, hearing this next door? Talking about stillness, and we've got this lovely singing coming over. The interesting thing is that for most Jews in that time, they weren't known for their seafaring prowess. They were very much a land-based nation. And the sea became for them something symbolizing the darker forces of evil. And just as we learnt last week when Jeff and Heather spoke about the parables, we see that when Jesus saves the disciples from this storm, what Mark is really announcing, not just authority, but that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, I'm sure you've heard this story many times, this story of Jesus calming the storm. And familiarity can sometimes cause us to lose something of the wonder and awesomeness of it. So let's just see if we can bring something a little bit fresh to the story. So let's go again with our storm, shall we? And there are bags at the end of every row in case you're feeling a little ill. It's quite interesting actually preaching like this because all your eyes are up there. Usually people when we preach, their eyes are all over the place, but great to see you fixated on the screen. So let's look at where this authority comes from. Firstly, we have the disciples, and a number of them will have been fishermen. Okay, they're probably used to sudden storms. But the reading suggests they were cross with Jesus. Cross because he was sleeping calmly in the back of the boat while they fought to save themselves and the boat. Don't you care if we drown? They cry. Aren't you worried? Maybe they were confident that with Jesus in the boat, all would be well. I mean, they've already seen him cast out demons, heal people. And we've seen him demonstrate spiritual power. But in a way, they haven't seen him dealing with the rawness of nature itself. And as Peter said earlier, Jesus echoing the words of Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." And what's their reaction? If they were scared by the storm, verse 41, they were terrified with the power and authority that Jesus showed. Petrified, immensely fearful. They just didn't realize that Jesus could do this. And they posed the question, who is this man? Who is this Jesus? How can he have authority over nature itself? What would you say if somebody said to you, who is this? Who is this Jesus? Sometimes it can be very worrying for us to try to tell people about Jesus, the heart of the faith of our lives. When at a time, as Peter's already touched on, authority, the whole word, the whole ethos of authority is not only challenged, but it seems to be elastic. Truth seems to be twisted all the time. And authority is very much in the spotlight today. And so it's really important that we have a good understanding of who Jesus is. And it's easy to say, oh, well, it was a miracle. And it was. But if our faith is to have traction, then we need to understand, how could Jesus do this? No human being can or ever will be able to calm a storm. And yet sometimes I wonder whether our image of Jesus, the human side of Jesus, the humanity, as it were, has taken a sort of dominance that mean that many people doubt the validity of the miracles, or they try and explain them away. And it starts quite early, in a sense, with Sunday school. I mean, here are some images of Jesus. We all know, of course, he's blue-eyed. And these two were taken from pictures that I saw when I was at Sunday school myself. Either the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, or a sort of aggressive Che Guevara-style revolutionary. Or these are taken from even earlier books. You know, I'm sure they're all familiar pictures of, you know, Jesus with the squirrels and the Bambis and baby lambs and, you know. But of course the truth is, actually, yeah, that's Jesus. Robert Powell, we know that. Or actually, interestingly, recently they've been trying to develop what Jesus would have really looked like. And that's the latest sort of picture that's come out of what they think somebody who lived in that part of the world at that time might well have looked like. So, all of these pictures, of course, have an element of truth in them. But if Jesus was fully human and fully divine, then this is only part of the picture, the human bit. And the Bible provides us with a really clear understanding of who Jesus was. I've changed the word to Jesus in 1 John 1-4. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Or Colossians 1:15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things consist. or as Jesus himself said. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So here's the conundrum. If Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, a human, and lived for 30, 33 years, how can this be? How could it also be at the beginning? I went to the Church of England website. Where else would you find an answer to a question like that? And it was really good. This is what it says. When we believe in Jesus Christ, we're believing in something much bigger than the historical incarnation that we call Jesus. Jesus is the visible map, the entire sweep of the meaning of the Anointed One, the Christ, includes us and includes all of creation since the beginning of time. Can you see how this image of Jesus is starting to expand? And in the early Christian church, only a few Eastern fathers, such as Origen of Alexandria and Maximus the Confessor, noticed that the Christ was clearly historically older, larger, and different from Jesus. Don't you love those names of the Eastern fathers? Maximus the Confessor. Would you like to call, Peter the Confessor? Yes. I put this picture up. I don't know, does anybody recognize this? I didn't. It's by Leonardo da Vinci. And it's actually, would you believe it or not, the most expensive painting in the world. It was thought to be lost or destroyed and discovered again in 2005. And it was sold about 4 years ago for $450 million. It is Christ. And I don't know whether you can pick it up, but he's holding a sphere, a glass sphere. And the thing about that glass sphere is that there's three little dots inside it, like air bubbles. And this apparently turns the heavenly, sort of, as it were, bauble into the cosmos. And so this actually is entitled The Cosmic Christ, Savior of the Cosmos. And the Greek word for world in Bible is cosmos. So we have here effectively a Renaissance painting 500 years ago, Jesus the Christ holding the entire cosmos in his hand. And so it's blowing Jesus the human into the proper authoritarian figure, as it were, that he should be. Jesus the Christ, as opposed to perhaps those images of, baby Jesus and so forth. And it is in this image of Jesus the Christ that we see the authority of the Godhead, which is the authority that Jesus exerts in the stilling of the storm. This is the Jesus we worship, the Christ who has power over the forces of nature itself. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I know we know it, but we need to remind ourselves. The Christ, Jesus Christ isn't the surname, the Christ, the Anointed One, there at creation, part, of course, of the unity of the Godhead. This is a symbol for the Trinity, the wholeness, the indivisibility of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Love personified, poured out for us. I love preaching because it makes me really focus and it makes me excited when I realize again afresh the wonder of Jesus the Christ. The final bit of the talk this morning is about the storms in our lives. And what have I got here? Yes, my boating career. That's me. That big, bold, masculine looking thing. What skinny legs. That's our first boat. I didn't get very far. I got grounded on a sandbar, as I recall. So it was all very boring. But that's me, my skinny little legs. And you probably think to yourself, who would marry a person like that? Well, the answer is there. Debbie, my wife. Debbie in the bath. I hope this comes across properly in the recording. Otherwise, people wonder, why is he showing a picture of his wife in the bath? hasn't changed a bit. Where are we going with this? Oh, yes, boating. Boating. So I start off with a little, you know, yachty thing. And that's the lifeboat at St. Agnes, which I was a member of the crew. Although it might be a bit of weird stuff with perspective. You get the idea of there's some quite big waves. And it can be quite scary, the sea, as I'm sure all of us know. But the pride of my life at the time was that the boat that I built with a friend, that's the yellow one in the middle, called Bat, after Barry and Pat, combine the names. And power of the sea. I took my mum and dad out in this boat, and I thought, I'll give them a bit of a thrill. So being trained in the lifeboat, I was very used to big seas right next to the cliffs, and just down from the beach were these 200-300-foot high cliffs. And if you know about the sea, if it's deep water, you don't necessarily get waves crashing over. You get waves sort of takes the boat up and down. So I thought, I'll take them right next to the cliffs and show them what it looks like. Well, there was probably a 2 or 3 meter drop in these waves. So as we sort of zoomed in and homed in on these cliffs, about probably 2 meters from the cliff edge, and you've got 300 foot of cliff there, the sea just literally drops about 2 meters, 3 meters. And all I can remember is hearing my mother screaming. Abject fear. Abject fear. And this is the thing about storms and about life and the storms of life. Because our lives are a bit like boat journeys. We never quite know when a storm will come. And I look at you all there wearing masks. And, you know, I'm sure for all of us, we've seen the fear in people's eyes above the masks in these last couple of years in our society. The boat of society has been rocked by this pandemic. And I know for Debs and I, back in 2016, we had a rocky time. Out of nowhere, suddenly, you know, a letter comes in the post saying Deb has been diagnosed with cancer. And I think it was 2 or 3 weeks later, my mum was found dead in her flat, suddenly. 2 weeks after that, I think, after a traumatic birth, our daughter presented us with our grandson. You know, great big events, seismic events in our lives. The storms of life. In fact, you know, you've got these spell checkers. Mine changed it to the storms of wife. So, just saying. But here's the thing. Christ Jesus, the Creator, indivisible part of the Godhead, is in the boat with us. You know? Isn't that a beautiful thing? He's resting in our boat, ready to be at our side. And whether we're aware of his presence or not, he's there. And notice how in the reading, he doesn't wake with a noise or the turmoil of the storm. He only wakes to the cry of his disciples. And there's a message there for us, you know, when we're in need to cry out. Except, of course, many times we are overwhelmed or too fearful to do so. I know when back in 2016, Deb and I felt tossed on the waves of life without control. And we actually were then, and I know for many people, in a time of crisis, were frightened. And we're in good company. The penultimate verse of our reading, Jesus says to his disciples, "Why? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? Why do you have no faith?" And he specifically links fear and faith. Now, they're polar opposites. Words we associate with fear are doubt, anxiety, worry, insecurity, skepticism. And words we might associate with faith could be hope, contentment, confidence, belief, optimism, assurance. So maybe as it's advertising this poster I found, it's not time to have fear. It's time to have faith. And we need to encourage faith in our lives. And that's difficult. You don't just wake up in the morning and go, oh, I think I'll have some more faith this morning with my cornflakes or porridge. But the answer I found again on the Church of England website. It's really good, actually. Honestly. Oh, come on. Get in there. And it said, you won't be asked if you completely understand all of this, but you are asked whether you believe and trust. It's okay, you haven't got to understand all this stuff. You haven't got to understand theology. But you have got to ask yourself, do you believe and trust? This is called faith. It's a different sort of knowledge. It's the knowledge of being known and loved and of loving in return. I think that's lovely. You won't ever be asked if you completely understand all of this, just as well, because I don't. But you are asked whether you believe and trust. And that's something over which we have control. This is called faith. It's a different kind of knowledge. It's the knowledge of being known and loved and of loving in return. And so to banish fear and cultivate faith, we must believe and trust through Jesus the Christ that the world was created. We must believe and trust that Jesus the Christ will never leave us. Not in all eternity. And we must believe and trust that Jesus the Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross, demonstrates the ultimate love that God has for the world and for each one of us personally. And knowing in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that whatever happens in this life, we are loved. We are not alone because Christ Jesus, Lord of the storms, is with us. Amen. We'll have a few moments of silence to reflect on our own images of Jesus. Perhaps reflect on whether our lives are dominated by faith or fear. And then the band will lead us in a time of worship. Thank you.
Thank you.
ourselves into you and know you in all those challenging circumstances. You are the stillness within the storm, Lord. In Jesus' name. Please take a seat.
In our prayers today, we're going to be thinking of one or two individuals by name as representatives of certain things to pray for. And there will be some times where we can just bring our private prayers to the Lord as well. But I want to pray for individual people in certain name, in certain nations. We've heard about authority, and in the world there are two strong men. That's the name they're given, that I think we should be concerned about, and for people who are subject to them. I'm thinking of Putin and Xi. So let's pray first for the nation of Ukraine. There's a lady, Alina Znatkova. Alina had to flee from her border town to Kharkov with her daughter. And now she's living in friends' flats, university dormitories, relying on donated clothes and student meals. She's a refugee from the border towns, but she is helping move people from the border further back into Ukraine. Let's pray for Alina. Lord, we pray you strengthen her. You give her resolve and you give her safety. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray for China. And there are two people I'd like to mention. And I'm probably not going to pronounce them correctly. One is Gulbahar Haiti Waji. She's a Uyghur Muslim. And she spent 3 years imprisoned and tortured in a Xinjiang re-education camp. Lord, we pray for Gulbahar. She's now out of China, but she has many people that she knows who are still there of her Uyghur ethnicity. And we pray for her as representatives of those who are still held in these re-education camps. Given 12 plus hours a day of constant bombardment of Chinese propaganda. We pray for those who are in those camps, Lord. I want to pray for a man, Yang Maodong. He's an activist who was imprisoned after a public battle to visit his terminally ill wife. He was then charged with subversion and has disappeared into one of the notorious black jails, as has the famous artist Ai Weiwei and other people that you may have heard of. But let's play for Yang. Father God, we don't know where he is, but we know there are these jails where people have just disappeared. We pray for him and we pray for his release and for his comfort after grieving for the death of his wife very recently, not being able to see her. We pray for Yang. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I'd like to pray for the nation of Tonga. And Tonga is still in a state of complete devastation after the volcanic eruption. There's a lady called Marion Kupu, who is a broadcast journalist, who witnessed that tsunami that followed the eruption firsthand. I pray for Marion. She has been working out there to tell the world of all the devastation and the island covered by a layer of sulfuric volcanic ash, and particularly for the lack of fresh water. We pray for Marion out there, who has had days when she hasn't been able to get reports out to the west. And we pray, Lord, for the people in Tonga as they try to rebuild their houses, their towns, their roads. I've seen pictures, they are devastated. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We mentioned the names of two strong leaders. What would the world be like if these two men were committed to Christ? I just set that question out. Father, we pray for Putin. We pray for Xi. And I know they're not alone as strong leaders, strong dictators. But we pray for them, Lord, that they will hear the voice of Jesus. We pray too for the Queen as she faces the 70th anniversary of her father's death next weekend. Thank you, Lord, for her faith that she expresses in her life and her words. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless her this year as she feels the poignancy of losing a beloved father and also losing her husband last year. Bless her, Lord, and her family through this year of remembrance and celebration. And we bring our national life to you, Lord, and ask you to have mercy on us. We pray for our leaders, our national leaders. And we pray, Lord, that you will keep any cheap political point scoring in check. Don't let anger, resentment, and regret win the day. Lord, we pray you will overrule in the corridors of power and be at work in leading and shaping and preparing the way for your kingdom to come. Bring about leadership for our nation that will carry credibility, respect, and integrity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now let's pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're just going to sing a song over that time of prayer where we speak Jesus over every situation.
Encourage you just to allow the Spirit to continue to minister to you. Breathe Him in. I think we're going to just draw our service to a close with a soft landing, to use that phrase. And I want to encourage you, the Lord is ministering to lots of you, and I want to encourage you to dwell and sit if that's what you'd like to do. And I think if others who feel it's time to finish, then if I could ask you to leave quietly and then take our conversation outside. But otherwise, let the Lord continue to dwell in this place and minister to you. I was very struck by something that Barry said, was that Jesus slept in the middle of the storm, but he awoke when he heard the cries of the disciples. It's just like a parent will in the middle of the night be sensitive. Perhaps going into the new week, you'll know that the Lord is sensitive to your voice and you can cry out to him. So may God the Father keep you in all your days. May God the Son shield you in all your ways. May God the Spirit bring you healing and peace. May God the Holy Trinity drive all darkness from you and pour upon you the blessing and light. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us now and always. Amen. Bless you all. And as I say, if we just keep this as a place of ministry, if you would like someone to pray with you, please invite someone to pray or speak to me or some of the other guys around. But please ask. But otherwise, if we could leave quietly and allow the Spirit to continue to work.
Jesus, have we tried?